How many have hope today? Now, if you look up hope in the dictionary, there's like all kinds of explanations for that. But this one is to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. If a person feels hopeless, then everything is lost. When you lose your hope, you lose desire, you lose drive, you lose ambition. When you lose hope, you pretty much lose everything. Your hope is so important that you are placing your hope in the right place. You see, our anchor, our hope, is within the veil. Amen? It's like that umbilical cord that attaches us to Jesus. We're there. We're with Him. Our hope is in Christ alone. In Christ alone, I place my trust. Hope is so important. 1 John chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. It's going to be our text. So hope is a word that means we're going to look into the future with expectancy. If you don't have hope, you don't expect anything. People sometimes come to church without hope. They come thinking, well, we're just going to go through the same old routine. I'm going to come this way. I'm going to leave this way. Why? Because they have no hope. They have no expectancy of something. Beloved, now we are children of God. Children of God are those who are born of His Spirit in Christ. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. In other words, we haven't had the full revelation yet. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Because the Bible says that this mortal would put on immortality, this corruptible will put on incorruption. We will be transformed. We will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be changed completely. This body that we're now in, this earth suit, is going to be transformed into His likeness. Even our bodies will be redeemed. We'll have a brand new, amen?
Amen.
A brand new suit. And it's going to be nice. Looking forward to that. So, everyone who has this hope, what hope? We shall be like Him. Purifies Himself just as He is pure. God's desire for His bride, His church, is to be completely pure. Pure means unmixed. If you have a pure substance, it's not mixed with anything else. If you have pure gold, it's not mixed with impurities. God wants His bride to be pure, to be holy, to be ready for Him. We are in the dressing room of eternity. We are being prepared for eternity. And so if you are a child of God, know this first and foremost, that there are no hopeless situations for you. Hopelessness should not even be in your vocabulary. Because we serve the God of all hope. We have hope beyond anything and anybody else. And people that are not in covenant, folks, have no hope. They don't have hope. But in covenant with God, we have hope.
Amen.
And our hope is in Him. We have hope in life, and we have hope in death. Romans 8:37, how many know that? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, sometimes it may seem for a season that things are looking pretty hopeless. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. It looked hopeless. How many hopeless times have you already passed through? Probably more than you can mention, right? But at the time you're going through it, it can be very difficult and it can appear to be hopeless. But that's the thing. We are not to live by sight. We are not to live by the way things appear. We are of a higher caliber than that. We have been called to citizenry in heaven. We are children of the Most High God. We are born of His Spirit. We have been raised up together with Christ and we have been seated in the heavenly places. We are with Him in heavenly places. So we have all hope because we have the God of all hope within us. There's no hopeless situations for believers. Now, a person who lives a corrupt life, they may claim to be a follower of Jesus, but if they live a corrupt life, they live an impure life, they live a sinful life, they are deceived. Because a follower of Jesus is one that has the hope of Christ in them, and the hope of Christ in you, and the expectation that Jesus Christ is going to be coming again and returning for me, does something to us. It has a purifying effect. Are you with me? When we have the fear of God in us and we're aware that at any time Jesus could come, if I have that awareness, that hope in me, then when I'm sitting and some questionable content comes on the computer, or you're walking through the line in Walmart and there's some stuff staring you in the face, and the question you need to ask yourself is the question they asked many times years ago, but what would Jesus do, we say, right?
Yeah.
But would we be allowing the things that we allow in our lives right now if we knew that Jesus could show up at any time? You see, if that's not the way that you're thinking, there's a problem, folks. There is a disconnect somewhere. Because when you are walking in communion with Him, you will have His heart, His desires. You will want to do the things that please Him. You won't want to do anything to grieve His Spirit. Because when you're walking right with God, something happens to you when you sin. You grieve the Spirit within you. You feel like I have blown it with God. And you cannot be comfortable doing those things that the Lord disapproves of. So if you truly have the hope in you, it means that you will be purifying yourself. You will be wanting to be rid of anything, any impurities in your life, any besetting sins, so that you might be ready for the time when Jesus shall come. Hebrews 9 and 27. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him. To those who eagerly wait for Him. To those who eagerly wait for Him. He will appear a second time. Apart from sin for salvation. When we are truly looking for the return of Jesus, it will be reflected in our walk. People that are looking for Him, people that are seeking Him, people that are in preparation for Him, are people who realize that I cannot defile myself with the world. Nor can they be comfortable in that. Are you with me today? There are people who think that they belong to Christ, but they can go out and they can live for the world, live in sin, and it wouldn't even bother them. I don't care. You can come to church. You can hop up and down. You can raise your hands. You can praise the Lord. But if you're living in adultery or fornication, or if you're a drunkard or you're an extortioner or you're, you know, any of these things, what you're really doing is acting. You're a player.
That's right.
God sees the heart. He knows the real you, where you really live. And do you know the Lord will hold you accountable for what you knew? Because to the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Now, this is something that probably all of us could identify with. But when you knew that the boss was coming, maybe you work in an office, maybe you worked in a factory, maybe you worked in a machine shop, it didn't matter. But how many know what I'm talking about? Isn't it interesting that when the boss is away, the mice play, you know? When the cat's away, the mice play. And people often, because they feel like, hey, the boss is out, nobody will ever know. Now I can, what we call in the military, sham. I can goof off. But the interesting thing about this relationship in the Lord is that He's always watching.
Yes.
Even though you don't see Him with your natural eyes, He's always watching. The Holy Spirit is there, folks. I want you to see this. Observing. The angels of the Lord are watchers. What are you doing? What are you doing in secret? Because who you are in secret is who you really are. What goes on in the secret place of your mind and your thoughts? Are you with me? He sees it. He knows what you think. He knows what you entertain. He knows what you dwell on. He knows what you fantasize about. And so He's either saying, yep, good work, good job. Mm-mm. It's all going in the book.
That's right.
It's called the Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
And the day is coming when every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born throughout history is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? There's two judgments. There's a great white throne judgment. You don't want to be in that one. But even as believers, there's going to be judgment. The things that we did in our body. If you know that the boss is coming, I remember, and some of you have been in the military can identify with this, when you knew the general was coming, we put on what's called the dog and pony show, you know. Everything was polished and dressed right dress, and everything was clean and presentable. And it might have looked like garbage prior to that, but when you knew the general was coming, boy, everybody's toeing the line because you're going to be inspected. And sometimes they'd give you a little bit advance notice, but sometimes they didn't give you any notice. He'd just show up. But when we had an awareness that the general's coming, or if you knew that maybe the IRS is going to come in and check out your books, or, you know, somebody's going to come in and inspect what you're doing, all of a sudden it's like you sense an urgency to kind of get things straight. Now, I believe there's a reason why no one knows the day nor the hour. Because God knows how people are and how we think. And so Jesus told us to be ready because He's coming in an hour when you think not. Amen? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to be coming onto the scene. And there aren't going to be any secrets. Everything is laid open before Him now even. He sees it.
Amen.
You see, repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is being sorry enough that you stop it.
That's right.
That's right.
You don't make excuses for it. You don't pet it. You say, I tried. No, you got to quit trying and start doing it.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you and I. To do whatever God tells you to do. You know what? God will not convict us of sin without giving you the grace to do it. Amen? Without giving you the grace to be free from it. Every time you're convicted, it's because He's trying to say, listen, I want you to be free. Why are you holding on to that? That's going to destroy your soul. Give it to me. Trust me with all your heart. The Holy Spirit never does anything for nothing. If he's convicting you, you're doing something, you're watching something, listening to something, doing something you shouldn't be doing, you're going to get that. If you're in Christ, you're going to get that. Ooh, that's not good. Thank God for that. That's a good thing. Because there are some people who are searing their conscience because they continually deny, they continually ignore the voice of God. And they become calloused over time. And they become desensitized to things that at one time would bring embarrassment or shame. Now it's no big deal. Have you ever taken a fast and been on a fast and maybe you didn't listen to radio or television or anything for a period of time, and then you go back and you turn on the television and you're shocked? Whereas before it was kind of like, no big deal. Now don't look so spiritual out there. Do you see what's happening? Do you see how the enemy is seducing believers today? There are seducing spirits that are very active, and they're active in the church, and they're trying to seduce God's people back into the ways of the world. What he wants to do is to get you to love the world again and become an enemy to God. Oh, that's true. You can be an enemy of the cross. If you and I are not anticipating the return of the Lord, then we will not be preparing for his coming. People who are not looking for Jesus cast off restraints. Jesus gave us this in Matthew 24 and verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed or extremely happy is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. What is he saying? He's saying extremely blessed are going to be those who were ready when Jesus comes. Because they were anticipating. They were looking forward with expectation to the day that Jesus comes. They had hope in something greater than this world. They were living for him and for eternity. They weren't wasting themselves on vain living. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, I want you to hear this. Who is he talking about? He's talking about his servants here. My master is delaying his coming. Master implies ownership, folks. Are you with me? Let's get our theology straight here. Master implies ownership. They were servants of the Lord. My master's delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards. And the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. You see, this is what happens, is people think, well, I got away with it and nothing happened. I heard what God said, but I've been doing it and nothing has happened. Therefore, they're bent on doing it more and more. And what they don't realize is that they are sowing in the spirit realm. And things are beginning to accumulate. And there comes a time that that which had been sown in the spirit realm, whether it was good or evil, is going to come back. That's why we are to sow to the spirit and deny the sin nature. Because when we sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, you of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, at an hour he's not aware of, and will, listen, cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, the players. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whenever Jesus spoke of hell, folks, he spoke of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I hope you know that I love you today, and I'm not here to beat up on anybody. But I've got to be truthful with you, and I've got to speak the word of God as he's given it to us. Now, there's several things that we can observe from this. Number one, this servant, this wicked servant, he began to beat his fellow servants. What does that imply? To me, it implies that his love grew cold. Do you know Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, because iniquity abounds, the love, and that word love is agape, God's love, in many will grow cold. And when our love begins to grow cold, then we begin to get abusive towards others. We start to be disrespectful towards others. We start to mistreat people when our love grows cold. He began to mistreat others. And so we know this, but not everybody that confesses or professes to be a follower of Jesus is his. The wise servant is the one who was found caring for God's people. And of course, care for others, love for others, amen, and demonstrate that the love of God is in us. And such a one will be honored in the kingdom. Jesus said he will make him ruler over all his goods. The second thing the wicked servant did is he ate and he drank with the drunken. Love of the world. Love of the things of the world. Evil associations. The evil servant represents a nominal believer. And his behavior demonstrates that he's not ready for the kingdom. When the king comes, he's going to punish him. And he said that he's going to appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where people weep and gnash their teeth. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul is quoting a Greek poem. And he says this, "Do not be deceived," speaking to the church. "Evil company corrupts good habits." And I want to take a little time on this morning, because the Lord has been speaking to me about this, and it's been my observation since the time I've came to know the Lord, including my own walk, my own life, that you and I have to be very careful who we hang out with. We are not to completely separate ourselves from the world. We are to walk like Jesus did. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. In other words, he hung out with them for the purpose of trying to reach to their heart. Amen? So we don't separate ourselves and become self-righteous snobs. Are you with me? But we have to protect ourselves from relationships that are going to tear you down. There are people who think, I can walk with Jesus and I can hang out with people who don't want anything to do with Jesus. You see, the people Jesus hung out with were listening to him. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. If they're not interested, don't throw it there. Get out of the relationship if they don't want anything to do with your Jesus. Are you with me? And if you're married, the husband or the wife is sanctified within the marriage. That's a different situation. It's already happened. You're in it. But God can seal you. He can protect you and give you grace for that. But you're going to have to pray and really watch yourself, because usually the unbelieving spouse is going to be working on you. Because you make them uncomfortable, and so they want you to come into their camp. And that's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, where he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. Folks, We've got to be careful, amen, because flies are attracted to dead things. Flies represent demons, amen. And if you want tormentors in your life, then it will come because you are thinking on, speaking on, doing bad things, wrong things. If you are thinking death, if you are speaking death, if you are looking at death, then guess what's attracted to death? Death. Have you ever noticed that if your dog takes a good one on the grass, give it a few minutes in the summertime and the flies will be all over it? Why? Because flies like stinking dead things. Graphic, yes. But you know, that's what sin is like to God. It's nasty, it's detestable, and it should be to us too. It's something that you want to look at, and you certainly don't want to step in it. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation says this. The same passage, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Listen, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. Don't team up. If you're a believer and you're single, don't marry an unbeliever. If you're going to do a business transaction or get involved with business, don't get into business with people who don't love your Jesus. Amen? Don't hang out with people who don't love your Jesus, because they will end up tearing you down. They'll defile you. I want you to hear this. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. And I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now we know the parable that we read was talking about Jesus' return. Amen? And what the Bible is saying here, folks, is that if we are truly walking with Jesus, how do I become pure then? Well, you become pure by abiding in the pure one. When you walk with Jesus, when you abide in him, when you worship him, when you pray, when you think on, speak on Jesus, when you obey his word, you are staying in a place of purity because he is the one who purifies. Purity is a result of abiding in the pure one. So you cannot love two masters. You cannot serve two masters. Are you with me today? You've got to make up your mind that I'm done with loose living. I'm done with the world, the things of the world. I'm done with death. I've divorced myself from death. I'm now walking in life. I'm walking in new life in Christ. I'm walking in my new identity, and I starve the old one to death. I don't give it any attention. But I feed my spirit man. And I build myself up in my holy faith. I pray in the Holy Spirit. I abide in Christ. So we've got to make a decision, folks. If you want to live a clean life that is acceptable to God, you're going to have to be very careful, because I've seen it over and over again, especially with new believers. They get saved. They're excited about Jesus. And they go right back to their old friends, their old lifestyle. Why? Because they have not completely divorced that. I want you to hear this. Most of the time people enter into relationships and they say, well, John is not really a Christian, but I'll convert him. Or Sally's not a Christian, but I'll convert her after we get married. I'll work on her and she'll be converted. Rarely does that ever happen. Rarely. And the same thing is true is if you have friendships, okay, people of this world that you consider your friends, you've got to walk very carefully. And let me just tell you this, if they are rejecting your Jesus, then you need to separate yourself. Yes, I said that. If they reject your Jesus, don't hang out with them. Because their motivation is not to help you out.
That's right.
But I've seen it over and over again where they end up dragging that person down back into deprivation again. And they get them, it's like a pig that was washed in the mire. Amen. It was clean and it went right back into the pit again. But the same thing is true with a dog. He vomits and then he turns around and he eats it. Yeah. But that's how repulsive sin is. It should be repulsive to us because it's repulsive to God. And if we are abiding in the Holy One, if we are abiding in the Pure One, then you will be repulsed by sin. You will not be comfortable in sin. If you are not abiding in Him, then you can sin and pacify yourself in that. Again, Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we just talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 6, but this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said this in verse 9, to the church, are you hearing me today? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, those who have created a God to suit themselves, maybe even a Jesus to fit them, that's not the true Jesus. Nor adulterers, amen, outside of marriage. Nor homosexuals, that's pretty clear. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, that has to do with intoxicants, drug addiction. Nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. If this is the way a person lives, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then he went on to say, but such were some of you. But you were washed, you were cleansed, amen? So that's the difference. The truly repentant are those who have forsaken their sin. Repentance is not just saying, God, I'm sorry again. And they'll go right out, as some would believe that it's okay to live like the devil all week long. And you go to Saturday Mass and you confess your sins before some guy. And then you're clean. And now you can go right out, right back into the hog pen for the rest of the week or the next week. And you repeat the cycle. Do you know that's a mockery to God?
That's right.
That is a lie. How can we any longer live or abide in those things that put Christ on the cross? It was our sin that put Him on the tree. If we are His people and His Spirit is truly in us, then it changes the way that we live and the way that we think.
Yes.
And we don't want to do those things anymore. And if we make a mistake, thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Thank God we can come to Jesus and receive His forgiveness. But true repentance, folks, is not just being sorry that you got caught. You see, there's going to be remorse in the day of judgment because people got caught. They thought they could get away with it, but they're going to get caught because God sees it all. In the day that we see Him, it's all going to be opened up. The books are going to be opened up. There are no secrets. The only hope you have is to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen? And say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Deliver me from evil. Deliver me from this thing. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to offend, cut it off and cast it from you. If your eye causes you to offend, pluck it out. It's better for you to go into life maimed than into hell. Amen. Having all your parts. Folks, this is serious business. This is life and death. People are on their way to hell and they think that everything is grand. They're going to party their way. They think there's a party in hell. There's no party in hell. You're forever and ever eternally separated from Him. When you and I are truly examining ourselves, folks, it's because of the hope that's within us. When you have hope, when you have Christ, and you're in abiding union with Him, then you will want to do the things that please Him. So let me just once again say this. If you have relationships that are not helping you out, that are not, you know, in favor of your walk with Christ, then you need to do what you can to get away. Amen? Let me give you an example. When I got saved, I got radically saved. I was into the whole drug and rock and roll culture. I was playing in a band. And God saved me in my bedroom. My eyes were opened up. I didn't even really know quite what happened, except that everything looked really pretty and bright and clean. I started going to band practice, and I go out there, and we were playing Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and all this stuff. And I was just brand new Christian, but we'd stop after playing a song. I said, "You guys heard about Jesus?"
Yeah.
Well, it blew them away. And I couldn't help myself. I just wanted to tell people about how good Jesus is. And so what happened as I decided, I had been changed. I radically committed myself. I said, "Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you." And when I decided to follow Jesus, guess what? I didn't have to call up and sever the ties. They didn't want anything to do with me anymore.
That's right.
And if you live God in Christ Jesus, those who may want to know Jesus usually will, within a very short time, come to Jesus in your circle.
That's right.
But those who do not, they're just not going to.
That's right.
Maybe somebody else will be able to reach them. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to be careful, because they'll drag you down.
They will.
I just took a year out, pretty much. I sold my equipment. I got rid of everything. I had an acoustic guitar left. I just wanted everything off of me, anything associated with that life. I spent about a year just really seeking God, spending time in prayer, crying out to God. I was getting delivered from demons and stuff, and God was setting me free. And these guys, all of a sudden, they just didn't want to be around this Jesus freak, you know? But you know, the thing that happened is, even still, there was an influence, because my lead singer, he got kicked out of his house. His wife got a restraining order on him. He had no place to go. So he said, "Okay, come on over. You can sleep on the couch." Steve had a captive audience. Steve got saved. Steve got filled with the Holy Spirit. He had no choice. No. About 6 months later, our bass player, I was able to lead him in the sinner's prayer. He didn't live much longer after that. He died. True repentance. There was a deep sorrow for my sin. How about you?
Yes.
I was truly broken and sorry, because the Holy Spirit turned the light on, and I'm like, wow. God showed me my life. I was aware of my life. It's like it all was there. It was flashing before me. I'm like, oh my God. I was aware of how I had hurt my wife. And Judy was just a little toddler. And there was chaos in the home. And everything that life attracts, you know, all the dead things and the demons and all that stuff was. And I became aware. It's like, oh God. What a knucklehead. I thought she was the problem. You know, that's what sin does. It blinds you. You don't see yourself. Now, we both had problems. Because she got saved shortly after, too. But she started going to church first. Some ladies, they dragged her by the ear, kicking and screaming. But she went to church and actually didn't have to do that, because she was needing help. She had anxiety problems, causing her heart to just do all this funky stuff, and she couldn't sleep. She was about ready to snap. It was so bad. She went months like that, months and months and months, just of torment. And God, in an instant, healed her and filled her with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies themselves. Don't be fooled. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what you're going to reap. How many make a decision today? I'm recommitting my life today. I mean, I'm in this all the way. I'm all in. There's nothing. I mean, what in hell do you want? I don't want anything in there, right? You see, we are not to treat the blood of Jesus as an unholy thing by doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. God has shown grace. He's shown mercy to us. We have to be very cautious now because we are representing the King of Glory. Everything we say, we're going to be accountable for. Are you with me? Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're doing. Be careful how you walk. Because Jesus says it's better that a millstone were hung around your head and you're cast into the sea than for anyone to cause one of these little ones that believe in me to stumble. To cause somebody else to stumble into sin is a pretty serious offense, is what Jesus is saying. And do you know that by our actions, we're either going to promote the gospel or we're going to demote it? God's kingdom is going to come. His will is going to be done. And I just want to be a part of that. How about you?
Yeah.
Say, here am I, Lord. Use me as your vessel. And so we vow to divorce death. How many would say, I vow to divorce death today? I'm done with death. I'm done with stinking thinking. Amen. Dead thoughts, dead conversation, dead movies, dead music. Get rid of it. Get it out of your life.
Amen.
Relationships that are not helpful, get them out.
Amen.
I've seen people come to the altar, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Stuff got broken off of them. They got delivered. They felt so wonderful. They walk out the door and they get a call from one of their old friends. Hey, come on over. Next thing you know, they're right back in the hog pen again. And this time it's worse. Come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate.
Amen.
And I will receive you. And you will be my sons. You will be my daughters. And in the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the Lord speaks there of those who had spoke often to one another. They had spoken and thought on and shared in the life of Jesus, the Lord. A book of remembrance was written before me. And they shall be my jewels, says the Lord, in the day. Amen? In the day of the Lord. How many are going to be a jewel? Amen?
Amen.
I want to be a jewel in His crown, not my own.
Yes.
I want to make Jesus famous. I want to see Jesus smile and say, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Nobody wants to hear Him say, you wicked servant. You knew. You knew that I was coming. But you did not prepare yourself. Instead, you begin to socialize and live according to the world. You begin to abuse people. And that is what Jesus says is a wicked servant. And they won't be part of that number. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Lord, you're the one who makes us righteous. And we come to you today because, Lord, there's no one else we can turn to. Would you pray with me? Would you pray from your own heart right now? Lord, we just call upon you today. God, we need your mercy. God, we need your grace right now. We ask you for forgiveness. Thank you that you've already provided for it. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Oh, Jesus, forgive. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. If you need to forgive somebody, do it now. Do it before the Lord. Do it by the grace of God. Say, God, I need the grace right now. And I will obey you. I will choose to obey you. And I will release that person right now. Just speak to them. Let them go. Release them. I forgive you. The debt is canceled. You owe me nothing. In Jesus' name, I forgive you. You're free to go. Just let them go right now. As I've been speaking this morning, maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about some things in your life that you need to get into order right now. Would you make your mind up today? Would you repent today? Are you sorry enough to turn from those things? When I see Jesus, I see him there at the cross, bleeding for me. He was willing to go all the way to the cross for me. The worthy one for the unworthy one. And I receive, Lord, your gift today. I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Now, Lord, we ask you just to release right now your dunamis. Release, Lord, your power. I thank you for forgiveness today. Now I ask you to fill me up, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me, Lord, to the point that I overflow. Lord, I ask you to consume me with your love. Saturate me in your holiness. Oh, pure one, fill me up right now and make me pure. Wash me in your precious blood, Jesus. I receive pardon today. Hallelujah. Now give praise to the Lord, for he is good. Hallelujah. 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 This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my strength. New day, a new beginning today. I have decided, have you? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.